All right, y'all, here's how to support the show. First of all, sign up for the RSS feeds so that you don't miss a show. LibertarianInstitute.org or ScottHorton.org for those. Also, subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/ScottHortonShow. And sign up at Patreon. Anybody who donates a dollar or more per interview at patreon.com, you get 2 free audiobooks, and that can be including my book, narrated by me, Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. So help support that way. Sign up at patreon.com/ScottHortonShow and send in $50 at scotthorton.org/donate. You get a signed copy of the book Fool's Errand, of the paperback there. And anybody who donates $100, used to be it takes 2. Now for any donation of $100, you get a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think Libertarian audiobooks. And there's already a whole bunch of them, and there will be more. Lifetime subscription for any $100 donation to the Scott Horton Show from Listen and Think Audio. Or you can get a silver QR code commodity disc, which is a really cool currency. Silver 1 ounce disc with a QR code tells you the instant spot price on there. And just go scotthorton.org/donate. There's also a PayPal for single donations, or you can sign up to do monthly donations on PayPal as well. And take all different kinds of digital currencies, especially Zencash, zensystem.io for Zencash, and of course all the different kinds of bitcoins and etc. like that. So check all that out at scotthorton.org/donate. And hey, by the way, if you like this show, review it for me on iTunes, Stitcher, etc. If you like the audiobook, it's now available on iTunes as well as audible.com. So leave a good review on there if you like that, and help get that out. Thanks.
Sorry I'm late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria?
Well, it's a proud day for America. And by God, we've kicked Vietnam Syndrome once and for all. Thank you very, very much.
I say it again, you've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
These witnesses are trying to simply deny things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
He came, he saw, he died.
Oh, we ain't killing their army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, Ben, say it 3 times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
All right, you guys, introducing the great Jim Bovard, Public Policy Hooligan. That's his book. You'll love it. It's great. It's his memoir. This is a man who quite literally has been denounced by the heads of every U.S. government department for his great work. And he wrote most of the books that are available online. Welcome back to the show. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, Scott, thanks for having me on. And congratulations on the success of Fool's Errand. It's great to see so many people quoting that. It's great to see you getting the speaking invites. It's great to see you getting some of the respect you finally deserve.
Well, thanks, Jim. That's very kind of you. You know what? I got to say, you've been a great inspiration to me all along. When I first learned about libertarianism, they were some pretty weak libertarians. And I thought, well, I guess I'd rather run with the militia kooks than these kind of wimps. And then you were one of the first libertarians I started reading who, you know, really was brave and telling it like it is. And in places where it really matters, like the Wall Street Journal and stuff like that, where they can't ignore you. So as I try to usually introduce you as investigative opinion columnist, lots of original journalism in all of your books and in your opinion pieces that you write for USA Today, where you're on the board of something or other, and at The Hill, where you publish regularly great stuff at The Hill, and the Future Freedom Foundation, of course, at FFF.org. So yeah. The great Jim Bovard. If you haven't read all of his books, you should. And especially Attention Deficit Democracy, which is a masterpiece, and also Public Policy Hooligan, which is great and which you can actually make some money off of. So now let's talk about the FBI. You don't like them. What's your problem?
Well, this is an agency that's had far too much power going back for 100 years, almost 100 years. It's something which has thrown so many wrenches into American democracy. It has trampled the rights and liberties of far more people than most Americans recognize. And there have been all these promises to reform it. We've been hearing that going back at least to the end of the Hoover era. But the agency still has sweeping power, and it still gets far too much deference, even though juries are increasingly not willing to believe FBI agents. Most of the media still does.
Yeah. Well, you remember Frederick Whitehurst, the whistleblower from the crime lab in the 1990s, right? And so one of the things I learned from him was that job one of the FBI is protecting the FBI. And that's job one, and everything else is in 100th place kind of thing. I don't know his exact words, but something like that. Nothing else matters to the – it's almost like a cult of power in a sense.
Well, and, you know, there are good FBI agents who follow the law and respect the Constitution and have done the best they could. But especially in recent years, I think it's been a case of some of the most power-hungry people rising to the top. And some of the stuff coming out from the Inspector General report and other sources makes it raises huge questions about the FBI's role in the 2016 election. It looks like they were putting their hand, if not their fist, on the scale.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's do history later and start with that. New IG report, because boy, is this a case of he said, she said in this Trump, Russia, gay, Ghazi, whatever the hell, fake scandal, if you ask me, Jim. But it seems like, and you know what? I don't want to be partisan about this, but it really does seem more like the accusers are the ones who are guilty of conspiring here, huh?
Well, there's a lot of stuff which we don't know, and I hope that we can get a whole lot more, files open as soon as possible. But I heard a number of people pissing and moaning about the Inspector General's report on the FBI's investigation of Hillary Clinton because they were upset he didn't conclude that it was basically a conspiracy, so on and so forth. Okay, there were some of his conclusions which I disagreed with, but there was a lot of great stuff in that 569-page report, which I raised to speed through that speed read through for had an article in USA Today the following morning. There was a lot of stuff there that's really shocking about how much about the bias of a lot of the top investigators. I was reading through that report, and I'd always had the sense that the FBI had basically rolled over for Hillary Clinton, that they just kind of practically stretched out a red carpet for her way to the White House. And lots of details on that in the report. But the thing which really kind of captured it perfectly was that the FBI had decided to exonerate her unless she confessed in the final sit-down interview, a couple days before Comey made his announcement that they were not going to charge her. And so this is a hell of a standard. Unless she confesses, then she's innocent. This is not the standard the FBI uses in other investigations, and there were many things which they did, which made it obvious that they weren't really investigating her. It was kind of a facade that they were kind of like, well, they were very careful not to look under rocks.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's great in a way. It's a peek in the window, basically, of what happens when the law comes up against politics. And, I mean, obviously it would be a very political decision whether she's outright guilty of, the very worst cases of whatever she was accused of with unsafe keeping of secrets and that kind of thing, to indict her and try to prosecute her right as she's the front runner running for president. So that, not that I'm saying it's legit, but I'm just saying that's the way it works, right? When a judge is that powerful of a judge, investigating his crimes becomes politically a no-go, and so it doesn't go. And the same thing here. So this is just what it looks like, right? When the politics are powerful enough that the law must be placed on hold in favor of the person.
Right, and there were so many things which were obvious from as soon as she became Secretary of State in 2009 that she was basically exempt. I mean, there were 17 Freedom of Information Act requests for her emails prior to 2014. They were simply ignored or shrugged off. I mean, it was obvious she was massively violating federal law as far as her records long before the FBI began investigating her. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like this came out of nowhere, but part of the trouble is that the a lot of the agencies in Washington, D.C. act like they have some kind of God-given right to keep all their secrets from the American people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Hillary Clinton ran the State Department. And there were an awful lot of, you know, it would have been great to see, to open all the files to see why the people in the Obama administration decided to bomb Libya. And I think we still have not seen a lot of the most damning stuff on that, because they basically pulled it out of a hat. The same thing which they did with Syria, which they made the civil war there so much more deadly for no good reason. The U.S. was flip-flopping back and forth. U.S. was, you know, the U.S. policy there was such a mess that you had the CIA aiding and bankrolling a terrorist group that was fighting a terrorist group that was supported by the Pentagon. And yet, in spite of these obvious conflicts, which were reported sporadically by the L.A. Times and other places, the policy continued. And it's not like Trump has straightened this mess out. We're still doing all kinds of crazy crap in Syria.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, just from the emails we do have about Libya are just damning. Sidney Blumenthal saying, hey, the guys whose side we're taking, they're just massacring black people. But anyway, so let's keep continuing. And the worst kind of motivation attributed to the French by her, you know, unofficial intelligence asset and friend, Sidney Blumenthal here. Max Blumenthal's father, interestingly, right? So there's this thing that keeps coming up, and you're kind of, you sort of made reference to it, but didn't outright say that. The whole thing is, she had this whole separate server and this whole separate email system for the same reason George W. Bush did. It's because they're breaking the law and keeping the stuff secret. And so that was why she had these separate servers. And as, you know, everybody makes such a big deal about Trump, you know, half joking and saying, hey, Russia, where's the 30,000 missing emails? When are you going to leak those? Right? Which was, I thought, great. You know, I don't know. But everybody makes such a big deal about that. But they missed the whole point about there's still 30,000 emails that Hillary and her people claim that, oh, those were private. And her example was emailing back and forth with Bill about when she's going to the gym and all that, even though Bill said on the record in public that he had actually only sent one or two emails in his whole life. From somebody else's account, because he doesn't do email. And so, you know, she's clearly lying about that. And it was all tied up, from what we do know from some of the emails, it was all, you can see all this overlap and corruption with the Clinton Foundation and her foreign policies. Almost the direct kind of corruption that you would think she wouldn't go that far, where, yeah, she's just outright taking all this money and doing major favors for the Saudis especially, right?
Well, yeah, there's all kinds of fishy stuff. It was frustrating as hell not to be able to see that before the 2016 election. There were a lot of other examples of the State Department simply shutting down, shutting down democracy as far as open government. There was a group that wanted to see the emails from her top aides, and the State Department said it would take 75 years to disclose them. 75 years. That's like the Warren Commission. The Warren Commission, which would not tell us the details of the John F. Kennedy assassination, and sealed the records for what was 75 years. And hey, trust us, your great grandchildren can see the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't work. But this is Hillary Clinton's not unique that way. But it was sad to see how far the FBI bent in order to cover her up, to cover up her abuses. And we don't know what the FBI is covering up right now. I mean, it's good to see Congress putting some pressure on the FBI to open its, to open its files. But I'm not confident that they're going to be that it's going to succeed, because the FBI has a very long history of hiding its worst misdeeds, or it's things that we don't find out about until 10 or 15 years after they happened.
All right, hang on just one second. Hey, guys, here's who sponsors this show. Mike Swanson and his great investment advice at WallStreetWindow.com. He's actually posting some stuff at the Libertarian Institute website now. Really great stuff. The great Mike Swanson, and he's also the author of the book The War State, which is a really great history of the rise of the new right military-industrial complex after World War II in the Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy.